All right, we want to have a quick sermonette because we realize everyone is excited and we have all the kids in here tonight, and I know that people are ready to go have Christmas Eve dinner, and maybe some of you have a tradition as we do at the Bourne House of opening up that one present. And so I wanted to share for about 10 minutes just a couple of quick things about Christmas. And one of the things I wanted us to think about is that sometimes Christmas doesn't go exactly as planned. Raise your hands if you've ever had some Christmas surprise or Christmas fails. Has anybody ever seen a Christmas fail? And as I introduced this, I came across an internet video that I think would typify what a Christmas fail looks like. So if you guys would watch this with me, and then we'll have a brief sermon to go along with it. I love it. He's trying to play it off. What happened to your hat, Santa? Oh, wait, get the presents. Yeah, okay, there we go. Instant replay. All right, you can stop. Man, I don't know why, but that made me so happy. I don't know what it was, but it just warmed my heart. I thought about a couple of Christmas fails that I know of. I knew one guy that he got his wife for Christmas. You know, he went all out, guys. I'm trying to tell you what not to do, okay? But he got his wife a laundromat, right? It was a cushioned mat. And he said he wanted her to be comfortable while she did laundry. A mat to go. That's terrible, guys. Any kind of like ironing board or something, like if you have a new vacuum cleaner, no. Okay, that's not a Christmas gift, so don't do that. I remember when we were newlyweds, I don't know if you guys have had any issues ever in your life with in-law situations during the Christmas season. Probably not anyone in here, but those that are out there someday, you might need to give them this lesson. But when my wife and I were newlyweds, my wife is the nicest person in the world. And so she really tries to please everyone. And during the Christmas season, that can be very difficult. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? And I remember once we had our oldest, which was our first child, obviously, and it was Christmas time, and I was like, babe, I really want to do our own Christmas. I mean, it's time to have our own Christmas. And so we said we were going to do our own Christmas. Well, little did I know, she thought that I was going to obviously change my mind and that we were going to go to her house for Christmas. And I didn't even know that I needed to change my mind because we had already made the decision. And so she told her parents that we were coming for Christmas. And so come Christmas Eve, we're still sitting at the house, you know, and the presents are all under the tree and little baby Jordan's toddling around, you know. And so all of a sudden my wife was like, so, you know, are we going to go to my parents? I was like, no, we're not. We decided we're going to. Well, she had to make the phone call on Christmas Eve that we weren't coming to her parents' house. Can you imagine what that phone call was like? I would say that would qualify as a Christmas fail, right? Right? I mean, and I bet that all of us can think of some times that there's been a Christmas fail in your life. I know that sometimes we don't get the right present, or maybe people aren't able to coordinate their schedules. Whenever you think about the Christmas story, I want you to think about how much failure it would have appeared to be wrapped in. I mean, think about this for a moment. Mary is 9 months pregnant, and she has to get on a donkey and ride several tens of miles, 20, 30 miles, to get to Bethlehem. Ladies, if you've had a child in here, would you be up for the nine-month pregnant donkey ride? Anybody No, right? Like, they won't even let you fly on a plane, much less get on a donkey, right? So obviously, that would have been crazy. And then, can you imagine the confusion and the chaos that was wrapped in Joseph's mind? I mean, try to imagine, you know, his wife's with child, and he doesn't exactly understand all of what's going on in that equation. So there's so much confusion and chaos inside of his mind. And then they get to the end. And you guys remember the story? There's no room at the end. So they get to the hotel and there's no rooms. So what do you do next? You got to go out to the stable. And then there's all these animals around and there's animal stuff that's around. And there's filth, right? And so it looks like a fail. There's filth all around. And this is Mary's first child. Now, I don't care if it had been her fifth child. Nobody wants to have a child in a stable, right? Nobody wants to have a child in a barn. And so when you look from the outside in, man, it wasn't pretty. And it looked like failure. And then the child was born. The hope of the world was born. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says that they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. There were angels singing. There was amazing scene going on. And the Bible says that they would call his name specifically Emmanuel, God with us. I want you to consider that for a moment, that in spite of all of the chaos and the confusion, the filth and the failure, that God entered that scene to save us from our sins. That God can be with us whenever we're going through stress, whenever we're going through struggles. That such a picture in our own lives, inside of our sin and our selfishness, that God is not offended in the sense that he doesn't want to be with us, that he would enter into our filth. He would enter into a situation where we are sinful because he has the desire to save us. So God walks with us when we're in times of confusion, when we're in times of chaos. And I hope that this Christmas season you would consider Jesus. You guys know that in the beginning, the Bible says that God made everything perfect. And then there was this one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did he say concerning that tree? Does anybody remember what? Anybody? Anybody? He said, don't touch it. But what did Adam and Eve do? Does anybody remember? Oh. It says that when Eve was tempted, that she did what? She. Oh, man. That's a good apple. It says that Adam and Eve, they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as a result of their sin, the Bible says that sin passed upon all of us. I mean, you have the sin of lust, the sin of lying. I mean, we got all kinds of sin. We got the sin of putting other things before God. We have the sin of doubts and unbelief. I mean, I could keep going forever about all the sins that were passed upon all mankind. And the Bible says that God did not want to leave us with all of this sin on our hands, that he made a way for us to escape. And it says that it was Jesus, that when Jesus entered the world and the angel was explaining it to Joseph in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1, he said that he will save us from our sins. Man, tonight, if you want to know the true meaning of Christmas, is that Jesus was born of a virgin in the lowly manger in Bethlehem, and that it was a humbling birth for God to enter into the human realm. But he did it so that we might know salvation. He died on the cross, and he rose again so that he could pay for our sins. And the Bible says when we accept Christ, all of our sins are covered and taken away. Man, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, wouldn't it feel better to have all of your sins forgiven and to be made white as snow? Would you guys bow your heads for a time of reflection? And Our band is going to come back out and lead us in just a moment. But I wanted us to take this time to pray. And maybe you've gone through 2006 or 2015 and it's been a year of failure. Maybe it's been a year of frustration. Maybe there's been some chaos in your life or some confusion. Man, I hope you know that God is not far above and removed from your life. But the Bible says that God sees you right where you are and that he wants to be Emmanuel. He wants to be with you tonight and wants to walk with you through that. And if you would call upon his name, the Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive all of our sins when we confess it. You can leave here tonight going into Christmas Eve forgiven and right with God. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Would you guys bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, we come before you and we pray for every family that's sitting in here tonight. God, we pray that you would bless each and every one of them. That during this Christmas season, that we could be thankful for the families that you've blessed us with. And God, for those of us that might not have physical families, that God, you've given us a spiritual family to take their place. That God, and above all of those things with our families in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm, you gave us your only begotten Son, immaculately, miraculously conceived, miraculously born, miraculously died on a cross that was prophesied hundreds of years before, and on the third day rose again. God, in the beginning you were awesome, in the middle you were awesome, and in the end you will be awesome. And God, we pray that every family here would dedicate this Christmas season toward thanking you for all that you've done for us. I want you guys to know, if you would look at me at this time, that God invites you in his word to come and see what he has done. And we're going to sing about Noel tonight. And I hope that as our band leads us in worship and as they sing through this special song, that you would consider what God has done for you. And after they finish this song, we're going to invite you guys to join with us in a candlelight service. So would you guys worship with them as they sing?